each individual is made in the image of God. And Emmanuel Ministries Calcutta is a movement of people who believe that each individual has intrinsic value and deserves respect and dignity. In a moment, we're going to meet one such individual. But before we do, if you've got a Bible, can you turn with me to a couple of passages? Firstly, Jeremiah 29. If you've got a Bible, one of my old pastors used to say this, and when you found it, look up and smile. It's one thing I can remember about that pastor, I can't remember the sermons. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Where it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Let's read it again. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And then skip over into the New Testament. The Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Where it says this, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Who of you by worrying, now are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Let's welcome our special guest this morning, Jane. Let's greet him in the way we usually do. Take a seat. We're going to have a little chat this morning. We're not going to be a full-length 40-minute sermon or anything like that, is it?
I was preparing for 2 hours.
Is that okay? Should we do that? Do that instead. Okay. It's great to have you here. What we're going to do this morning, we're going to go on a little journey together. But let's start at the very beginning. Very good place to start. Had to do it, didn't I? Just had to say it. Sorry. So can you tell us a bit about where you were born in your early years?
First, thank you for the warm welcome. It really eases the nerve. As you said, this morning we're going to journey from my life in the slums of Calcutta to United Kingdom. And I was born in this amazing city of Calcutta, as you just seen in the picture, video, in a community of 10,000 people living in 1.5 square kilometers, struggling every day with 2 toilets for the entire community. And 1 tap.
Say that again. 10,000 people
Two toilets and one tap.
Two toilets and one tap. Okay.
So life is much different than what it is here, isn't it? I grew up in small houses like everybody in the community. Our houses are as big as 8 by 10 foot. Some of the toilets I get to use here are bigger than that. As you can imagine, with two toilets, it's not enough for everyone. So imagine the rush in the morning.
No, I don't want to.
But we had enough open space like garbage dumping areas and drains to use as toilet as I was growing up as a young boy. And you can imagine, just like England, it rains much more in Calcutta. And when it's rainy season, it's flooded everywhere. So it's not just the rainwater that comes inside our house, it's dead rats and sewage and human feces. Not a good picture to imagine when you're going to Sunday dinner afterwards. But that's how the community I grew up in. Summertime, extremely hot, 40 degrees. Wintertime, not so cold as England, but when you don't have heaters in your room or warm clothes to wear, people die in the community. I grew up as a young boy seeing babies crying at night because there's not enough food. I grew up seeing my friends dying out of malaria or dengue, diseases that are easily treatable. I lost my father to malaria, which eventually caused his kidneys to fail. You can imagine growing up as a young boy who's 4 years old, this is a pretty dark place to grow up. At a very early age, I lost hope from life. I knew this is going to be my story. I'm going to be stuck here, probably die at some point, or else just struggle all day. We don't have the privilege of coffees and lattes and nice dinner like we do here. When I was growing up as a young boy, like many other children in my home, in my community, we used to wait for our parents to come back home. And if there was food, if there was work, there would be food. Otherwise, there were many occasions when we had to go to bed just drinking water. And just trying to imagine the contrast of my life here now.
Mm. So the room itself, you said 8 foot by 10 foot.
Yes, some houses are smaller than that. Our family was privileged. We have a big house, which was 8 by 10 foot.
How many of you were there in the house at that time?
Well, we were a family of four, but most family, they have 5 to 6 children. My father was wise. He had just two.
That really sounds a life barely lived, sort of very much survival mode. What happened next then?
Well, this little picture of the community, you can imagine every day was like struggling to be alive, you know. But at a very early age, when I was young, I used to be very angry, like many. But my anger was due to other reasons. I was angry as to why is this happening to me. If you've been to Calcutta, you would see two extremes of life living right next to each other. I was worried about why people do not care about us, people don't think we need some medical help or some sort of help. So I was very angry seeing all the dark things that was going around me as a young boy. But I had little idea about what we just heard from the Bible this morning, that God has plans for each and every one of us. And he indeed had a different plan for me. It all changed when Emmanuel Ministries, Calcutta, and my local church, they picked me out from the community and sent me to school with the help of Compassion. I became the first child out of a community of 10,000 people to go to school. How crazy is that? I always treasure this moment when I taught my father how to write his name, because they've never been to school. Education transformed my life and my family's as well. And it was not just this education. You know, food to eat in the project during day was more than what I was asking for. Warm clothes and material benefits, which eases the struggle of everyday life, was a massive blessing. But something else that I count as much more precious than all this help that I received and my family did. I come from a non-Christian family, a family of Muslims. My parents, grandparents, for generations, they have been Muslims. But as you can imagine, the place I was growing up, you don't see the reason why you should believe in God or somebody who loves you and cares for you. But when I could experience it in the work that was going on in the project, and I heard about Jesus, and they told me, you know, there's a God who loves you. As a young boy who was six, it was pretty amazing for me, because nobody other than my parents loved me. So I used to come back home and tell my dad, hey, you know what? We don't have to worry. There's a God who is beyond our human power. He loves us and he provides for us. And one of the passages from Matthew, which talks about for us not to worry about how we are going to live, because God is going to take care of us. My dad thought, what is this going on? What are they doing? And hence became his search to find answers to what I was talking about. And that led him to one of the church in Calcutta, and eventually to Jivanjyoti Fellowship Church, which Emmanuel Ministries is under the church. And the rest is history. Our family never looked back. Several years later, my parents became Christian. Not several, a few years later, my parents became Christian. And then I accepted the Lord as I was a young boy when I saw the truth. And I believe that transformed my life and my family's life forever, because it was not just release from physical poverty that we were experiencing, but the spiritual poverty.
Amazing, isn't it? So that all happened when you, as the first child in that whole community, you were chosen.
Well, there were certain limitations to that. I believe God chose me for a reason, but also there was limitations of resources, as in how many children they could take in. And for a long period in my life, I felt a little guilty about it, because I still know some of my friends that I grew up with. They don't have the life that I do. Some of them are into the dark world of drug abuse and illegal works. But they didn't do anything worse than I did or anything better than I did, not to deserve what I had. But fortunately, there was enough resource to take me in, and seeing the work, love of God through the actions of people around me deepened my faith, and it transformed my life, because my family was not just released from physical poverty, but spiritual as well.
So all this happened while you were at school then. So until you were chosen, if you like, you hadn't been to school at all, and then through your school years, you came to faith.
Yes, during school years, we used to attend scripture classes. I didn't have much idea when I started going to the what was going on, but eventually as I grew up, I understand more. But by then, my father was well ahead in his faith, because my questions and my sharing at home triggered something in his heart that led him to find out the real God.
Brilliant. Great story, isn't it? So from this beginning where you had this life barely lived, you found hope in Jesus. And then you left school. What happened next then?
Well, I finished school, and I was very fortunate. My father was very, very excited. I remember this particular incident. When I was about to finish high school, he already got malaria, and then his kidneys were not functioning, and you know, it becomes very difficult to go around places if your body is full of fluid and stuff. And it was so exciting for him that I was able to finish school, that he's to come with me to my exam center, which is quite a long walk. But finishing school was an important turnaround in my life. But what was next? Because by the time I was done, my father passed away. I was in a dilemma whether to quit studies to work to support my family, or to continue study. In my heart, I wanted to continue study. I could see the difference education was bringing in my life. But that's when God's love and his providence, provision, came into my life through the people in my church and in the ministry, Emmanuel Ministries. They stood by us, in the initial few months, providing for basic needs of the family until something could work out how we would live. They employed my mother, who works at Pavement Club and Emmanuel Ministries. She was able to support the family. And God provided through a sponsorship through Compassion. And Compassion said, oh, we will sponsor you to go to university. And that's how I managed to go to university. And I did a business degree, a bachelor's degree in business administration.
Which university was that?
It's Calcutta University, in Calcutta. And as I finished my high school, I wanted to actively, how should I put it? I wanted to share the love that I received over the years with fellow friends, you know, friends and people I know. So I started helping in the youth ministry under the leadership of my home church and doing some voluntary work in a project called microfinance or microcredit that helps women to receive loans to start a business, and it enables them, their family, to get sustainability, and they don't have to resort to some other ways of providing for the family, which is not really good. But through those few years, when I was working, I realized the difference these local people were bringing in the lives of others. And I saw how I could become a blessing as well if I am able to do something. And again, that guilt that I had for so many years of having all the privilege and opportunity that many of my friends didn't, I realized here is my opportunity. I can multiply the blessing that I received by doing something for the people who are less privileged. That's when my ambition to go back to my community and multiply the work that is going on to change lives began to take form. And I applied for a higher degree, higher level of education in business, because I was really focused. I was into microfinance. I saw the benefits it was bringing in the lives of people who do not have much opportunities. It was amazing how from a situation where I didn't know if I would go to university, God provided, and I went for a bachelor's degree. And then for my master's, amazingly, somebody I never met in my life from Australia decided to sponsor my entire education for master's. And I ended up here. No, I didn't end up, but I came over to UK pursuing a master's in international business at Manchester University.
Got to ask you the question. You mentioned Manchester. You've got to say red or blue.
Now you're making me enemies. Well, if you promise not to ask me any further questions about this, I support Manchester United.
We had to get that one in, didn't we? Anyway, can we step back a bit? So before you came here, you'd done your degree at Kolkata University, and then you were working with Emmanuel Ministries.
Voluntarily, yes. Working in the different programs, trying to help involve all that I could for the amazing work that they do back home.
Brilliant. Yeah. It's lovely, isn't it? So he's come through Emmanuel Ministries, now working with Emmanuel Ministries. So now you've got this privilege of being here in Manchester. Wetter than here.
Yes.
Some say yes.
I can't really complain about the wet.
No. So what's happening? What's next? How long is this course? How long are you going to be there for?
Well, it's been an amazing, eventful journey from life in Calcutta to life here in the UK. Some of you who have been to Calcutta, you could understand what I mean by that. In the place that I grew up, in the community that I lived in, and then I am in this place where, no offense to everyone, but we live here, over here, we are part of the top 2% of the most comfortable lives around the world. I grab some sandwich for lunch during university. I pay £2. And five of those lunch was the monthly ration for my family when I was back home. Mm-hmm. The price I pay for a can of Coke is a daily wage for somebody who works in a construction site. That's the difference that I've experienced. It is quite funny. In the beginning, I was very uncomfortable to sleep because the beds here are too soft for me. I felt like I was sinking. Everything is such an extreme contrast. And I believe, there's a reason why we are here. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty or anything. I'm just saying how blessed we are to live here. And that got me thinking, this shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen where we spend £3 on a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and then we have people on the other side of the world who are dying because they don't have 50p for their meal.
Hmm.
So what should we do about this? It got me thinking, and that's when it started as soon as I came over to this place, because this contrast was, it was eating me from inside. I wasn't comfortable with it. So that led me to pray about it, and what can I do about it? And God put this burden in my heart to do something about it, and that led me to realize that what has happened to me and the reason why I'm here in the UK for my studies and the life that I have when I go back home in India is because of the transformation that was brought to the local people who are trying to help local, who are trying to solve local issues. So at the moment, along with pursuing my degree, I'm trying to set up an organization that promotes to support these local charities, which is run by local people to address local issues. We here in the West, please do not take any offense, but I know we have heart to go out and help. But we also have to understand these limitations to that because of the less understanding of the culture or the issues. But I think a greater impact could be brought if we can encourage local people to help the local people. But we also have much to contribute to it, which is equally important. God has blessed us here with resources, not just in terms of money, but resources in non-financial terms as well. And I believe we could play an important part in transforming life. And that's what my plan is. After I finish my degree, I want to encourage people who have blessings from the Lord in terms of materials to do their bit so that there's people living in less privileged life could live a life of hope. And not just a life of physical hope, but of spiritual hope, which is why I think the role of a Christian ministry like Emmanuel Ministries come into play, where they don't just give you food to eat, but the bread of life, which is the word of God. So that's my future plan and ambition is to connect people over here who wants to bring a change with people back home who are trying to bring a change.
Sounds brilliant. So how can we pray for you? Firstly, when will you finish your degree?
Well, if I pass, I would finish in September.
Yeah. September this year?
Yeah, this year.
And then, assuming you pass?
Well, is there any doubt? You know, being not okay. Very modest, but
When you have passed?
After I pass, I want to... How do I put this in words? Some of you have been a part of the birthday celebration yesterday, and you've contributed towards a charity called Pursuit International. So that's the non-profit organization I'm trying to set up to empower local Christian charities in developing countries. So I want to get into that full time, but I would like to stay here for a little longer, probably maximum couple of years, to communicate to people over here that there's a way we could also help bring transformation in the lives of others. But eventually, I see myself going back to India because I want to be a part of all these people who need help. Like the importance of being associated with, being involved in everyday life of people you're helping is extremely important. It was not just that somebody sent money for my education that transformed my life. It was those cup of coffees I had with Auntie Premila, who shared her experience with me and encouraged me in my faith. It was those times of a game of football with the boys from the Anandalai home I spent shaped the man I am today. So I believe when I go back, being a part of their daily life, I could be an encouragement to their transformation. So that's where I want to be, but I plan to stay here a little longer so that I can communicate with people to help.
We'll turn to prayer in a minute, so we'll pray for you for that. And Emmanuel Ministries Calcutta, they've obviously played a big part in your past and possibly your future. So do you know how we could pray for Emmanuel Ministries as well?
There's lots of things you could pray for. First of all, pray for the lives that are already going through the work of EMC. I've also experienced in my life how clever devil is, and how he's working hard to take us away from the truth, and all the people back home are still vulnerable to it. And I would like to pray for you. I would like you to pray for them, so that we are able to create a strong foundation in Jesus, that we don't get lost again. But also for each and every person at EMC who's working selflessly every day to bring hope in the lives of others. It is not an easy job. I didn't do much. I did a little bit, and it is very difficult. So if you could pray for them, and if you could pray for me, that I could stay focused in the plans that I have, and the plans that God has for me. That would be great.
Johnny, thank you. What we'll do now is we will turn to prayer. But just think, from a life barely lived to a life that not only has hope now, but also a future, which takes us right back to that passage that we read at the beginning from Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Let's pray.